Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder and executive director of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
Folks, my guest today is Scott Ott. He is a writer, TV host, and political satirist at pjtv.com and pjmedia.com, and he's creator of the world's leading family-friendly news satire site, scrappleface.com. We've had Scott on the program several times in the past, and Scott has written several books, including Axis of Weasels and Laughing at Obama, Volume 1. And he's creator and host of the non-satirical video series, Freedom's Charter, about the writing of the U.S. Constitution. He's the father of four and husband of Stephanie, former pastor and Christian Children's Camp director. He still loves to teach the Bible to children of all ages, and for fun, he reads books about the Constitution. Scott Ott, welcome to the broadcast.
I sound like a real party animal, don't I?
Well, if they start going and watching your videos, they'll know you are. I appreciate your sense of humor. It is dry and droll and pointed. And you use humor well to disarm. But I have noticed that appreciation of your humor requires a certain level of awareness of what's going on in the news. So
yeah, that's the problem. I wish I were better at writing things that people, that everybody knows about because they watch television, but I don't watch television. So
that becomes hard. Yeah.
I don't know what the rest of America is thinking. I only know what's going on in the news.
Well, I would love to talk with you and have you talk with our listeners a little bit about what is happening in the news, what is happening in our country, including the political races that are on right now. We've got people running in the Democratic Party who feel that Hillary is not liberal enough. And we have people running. As a matter of fact, it's turned into a real marathon on the Republican side, where we have so many contestants that it's hard for people to get to the starting line, it seems. But tell me a little bit about your perspective on what's happening with the political race.
Well, I have a weird view of this, at least according to everybody else I've talked to. I actually don't think that it's a crowded Republican primary field, because I think in the context of, you know, what do we have, 320 million American citizens?
Yeah.
And then a bunch of others who get to vote but aren't citizens yet. they don't. I mean, they may not vote in Republican primaries, but, you know, they're out there.
Yep.
So I look at this and say, hey, you know, 16, 17 people stick their heads up out of 320 million. That's a healthy thing. And I also look at the primary process as kind of like a scrimmage, like you would when, you know, when I was playing football when I was a kid. And when you scrimmage, you want to have your best A team out there on the field, but you also want to have your best B team. Because you want to make sure, you know, your crosstown rivals are going to beat your heads in on Saturday. And so you want to make sure in the scrimmage that you give that A team everything you got so that they can handle it when they have to face the real opponent.
Yep. Well, that's a good point. I hope it works that way. We'll see. Sometimes it seems a little more like rival gangs, and they're armed with deadly weapons.
Well, and you raise a good point. And here's the problem. See, because when we scrimmaged when I was a kid, the coach had some rules. And one of the rules was you don't blindside your own quarterback.
Right.
You know, you're not out there to cripple the guys on your own team. You're out there to be the best clean football player you can be.
Yep.
And that's, I think, the appropriate role of the RNC in the case of the Republicans is to step in and at least make some phone calls behind the scenes and say, look, this is a scrimmage. We're not out to destroy the lives of the people who have put themselves forward in this risky venture of trying to become the nominee. You're out there to fight a clean fight. And if you don't start fighting a clean fight, I'm going to publicly out you about this.
Good. Well, I'll tell you, we on this broadcast, of course, have to be very careful not to endorse candidates and so on. But we literally are contacting every one of the candidates in both the two main parties, the Democratic Party and the Republican Party, and inviting them to come on the broadcast and talk with us. And we'll see who agrees to do it. I expect
great.
some of them will, because
it's refreshing to have a nonpartisan interview with somebody and really just kind of explore who this person is and what they're trying to accomplish.
That's all I want to do. That's all I want to do. I just want our listeners to know who these folks are, because as several of these folks have been on this broadcast in the past when they were not running for the presidency. And so, you know, I'm happy to have them back if they'll come. And we'll see who all does. We're going to invite them all. And I'm going to ask all of them the same initial questions, because I think that's only fair. I don't want to assassinate anybody. Just want to ask them questions that hopefully will not only give them the opportunity to talk about their beliefs and their values and their policy positions as related to their beliefs and values, but I also will then do follow-up based on what they say. As you know from being interviewed by me before, I actually listen to what the person I'm talking to is saying, and then I respond to that.
It's a little weird, frankly. I do a lot of radio interviews, and you don't always get that kind of treatment, and sometimes I don't know how to accommodate myself to someone who's actually listening.
Yeah, well, do your best here with me. But I want you to know, when we interview these various political candidates, we're going to be asking them all an initial set of questions that they're welcome to have ahead of time, but then we're going to follow up based on their answers. And it'll be interesting to see which ones agree to be on the broadcast. I think some of them will probably not be excited about coming on a program that is named Abiding in Christ. But
we'll just say,
you never know. You really don't. I've had people who completely disagree with my viewpoints who have come on the show before, and we'll see what happens. Let me ask, though, as you look at what's happening out there, you think it's not too many candidates on the Republican side. I presume you don't think there are too many candidates on the Democratic side.
No, I think there needs to be a lot more over there. I think we, in fact, I'm willing to share some of ours. I think we should send a half dozen of the Republican candidates over to the other side just to make it more a better scrimmage.
Well, I think that that might be indeed a move toward fairness. Let me ask you, are you seeing, without naming any names or endorsing anybody, are you seeing some folks out there that you feel excited about, or are we still facing the Battle of the Seven Dwarves?
Or 17.
Yes.
Yeah, I try to curb my enthusiasm at this point in the process because we are so far out, and you know that some of these guys and gals are just going to flame out, or they're just going to peter out and they won't be able to continue because they can't get the funding put together. Their campaign organizations will be inadequate. They don't really understand what it takes to run for president. I mean, it's like starting a company, but not like a little entrepreneurial mom and pop shop. It's like starting a multinational corporation that has to hit the ground running on day one.
Right.
And so it's quite a challenge. And the organizational skills and the ability to put together a team that can manage that is very difficult. And so a lot of these folks are gonna drop by the wayside. I do see a number of candidates in this field where I think, you know what, based on what I know now, I could vote for that person.
Mm-hmm.
And I have actually, in violation of my normal restraint, I have actually made a small campaign contribution to Carly Fiorina's campaign. Not because I think she's the one or because I'm going to vote for her in the primary when that comes around, but just because I want her to keep talking.
Mm-hmm.
It's one of those voices where I think, you know what, that's an important voice. Keep going. And I just want to make sure that she has the resources to go for a little while.
Well, bless you. I have not made any contributions financially to the campaign of anybody in either party. Let me ask you this.
Well, now, let me clarify, though. In fairness, I have made contributions to Hillary Clinton's campaign, but it was rather indirect because I paid my taxes, and then some of that money got funneled to the Clinton Foundation, and of course, And then some of that went to some foreign countries, some of whom are our enemies. And, you know, it all comes around, though. So I guess inadvertently, I'm a contributor to the Hillary Clinton campaign.
I think that's probably so. That's probably so. What about other parties? I mean, there was recent talk about, you know, whether or not Donald Trump would end up becoming a third party candidate. There are some other parties out there besides Democrats and Republicans. Well, what is your assessment of those other parties?
I think Donald Trump is a third party. I don't think he needs, he's just a party on wheels. I mean, everywhere he goes, something interesting is going to happen wherever that guy, no matter what you think of him, you've got to agree he's entertaining. And why do we go to a party if not to be entertained? I remember a couple of years ago when I was involved in the local Republican committee in the county where we lived, and I was talking to my wife about just another one of the sort of arguments and debates inside the party, and the people hate each other and there's all kinds of stuff going on. And my daughter, who was significantly younger at that point, said, Dad, why do they call it a Republican Party? It doesn't sound like anybody's having fun. That was an inarguable statement.
That's right. That's right.
I cannot rebut that.
Yeah, that's right. I agree. You just have to say, honey, that's very observant of you.
Yes.
Folks, we've got to take a break, but we're talking with Scott Ott of PJTV.com and PJMedia.com. We'll be back in just a moment. Hi, this is Jim Wood. I'm very grateful for the privilege of teaching God's Word now for over 40 years. I've seen firsthand the power of the gospel changing lives for eternity. My wife and I have been blessed with 7 children, 4 of them adopted. Each one is unique, but all of them are ours. In our travels to other countries, we've seen again and again that the human heart is the same everywhere. And everywhere we go, Jesus is the only one who can save. I hope that these broadcasts are an encouragement to you, and I want to ask you to take a few moments to encourage us. I want to ask you to do 3 things, in fact. First, please visit our website, pastorwood.org, and learn more about our work. Second, please pray for us that we will remain faithful and that God will continue to use us to spread His Word around the world. And finally, if the Lord prompts you to do so, please support us financially. We are depending on our listeners to stand with us, and we're praying for God to bless you.
To step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is, and He's holding out His hand.
Continuing our conversation with Scott Ott. Now, what about the recent Supreme Court rulings and the general condition of our culture? As you look at what is happening in our country, somehow you manage to keep a sense of humor and a sense of optimism.
Well, you know, ultimately, it comes down to the sovereignty of God. And, you know, somebody just asked me this the other night. I was speaking to a group of about 60 people in a local, they call themselves a Patriot. It's like a Tea Party group.
Yep.
In Allen, Texas. And they're great people, but you could tell a lot of them have been through the battle and they're feeling frustrated. You're constantly feeling like you're fighting a rear guard action to protect your values. And how can you possibly remain optimistic? And then we did a show this week on PJTV, a trifecta show, where Bill Whittle just, you know, my good friend Bill Whittle just eviscerated me for the idea that somehow we could remain optimistic at times such as this. You know, and basically he said, well, you know, after things turn around, maybe we can be optimistic. Well, you know, 2 things I said to him. Number one is I live, you may think I'm being unrealistic, but I live in the unseen realm, both in the context of my faith in Christ and in my belief that America's best days are still ahead of her. And I don't think that those best days are going to come because we manage to debate, defeat, and destroy our ideological rivals. I don't think our job is to fight a war against our fellow citizens who disagree with us. I think our job is to go on a quest to lead others to liberty. And that is not an act of violence like a war. That's an act of love. We are trying to increase the choir of people who sing the tribute to liberty. And in the end, if we win, it's better for everybody, including our opponents.
So you see it as an act of love.
Absolutely. And that's a little crazy because politics is seen as, you know, it's like the epilogue to Sun Tzu's The Art of War. But I really think it should be the art of love. Because after all, you know, what is good governance about but creating a society in which we can all live in ways that are at least, you know, the Hippocratic Oath first, do no harm.
Yeah.
You know, at least not harmful to others, but in the ultimate beneficial to others, that the idea that the efforts of all of us trying to achieve our own little goals in life will somehow benefit the entire community, the Commonwealth, and the country. And I really think that that's true. I don't think that's Pollyanna. And in fact, I think that the only problem with it and the only reason why we haven't seen it manifested more frequently is because people aren't willing to try it. People tend to lean toward the negative. People tend to go toward the gloom and the doom. And frankly, a lot of my Christian brothers and sisters are that way. You know, they read the prophetic passages. I'm reading through Jeremiah right now.
Good. Keep reading, Scott. Keep reading.
There's a perky little book for you. I mean, you're all going away into exile. And if you don't go away into exile, you're all going to starve and die of disease. You know.
And it's God's word.
And it's God's word, but it's not necessarily God's word. Each passage of Jeremiah isn't God's word to America at this time.
That's right.
And God makes clear throughout his word that those people who are headed the wrong way and who are worshiping the Baals, number one, that a remnant remains that has not bowed the knee to Baal.
Mm-hmm.
And number two, that if you will turn back to me, mm-hmm. if you will seek the good way, you know, if you will seek the old way, so to speak, then God will turn to us. I think I just posted something like this on my Facebook page this morning because I'm reading in Hebrews and in Jeremiah in this Read Through the Bible in a Year app thing.
Yep.
And I think we need to recognize that. We have not received a spirit of fear, but of love, of power and love and a sound mind. And so when all the world's going to hell around you, you don't say, oh, well, I guess that's it. We must all be going to hell. You say, you know what? I worship a forgiving God, a God of second chances, a God of love, a God who reaches out to those despicable people and turns them into his children. I was one of those despicable people. I'm now his child, and I still do some pretty despicable things. But he has somehow found it in his heart to forgive me, to send his son to die for me. And I think we need to embrace that aspect of the gospel, not to ignore the bad things that are going on around us.
Mm-hmm.
But to realize that the God of the universe is a God of love and of justice.
Amen. Well, I agree with that. I think that's a good word. I need to hear that good, encouraging word, because let me tell you, I look out there and I think, okay, maybe these are the days of Jeremiah. And on the one hand, that means we do call people to repentance, but
sure.
We also need to be very clear about the fact that Nebuchadnezzar is the Lord's anointed to bring judgment on God's people. And by God's people, I don't mean America. I mean the church.
That's right.
When I see what's happening in the church, I'm appalled. And so let me cite a few passages here for our listeners. In Hebrews chapter 10, one of the things that is said about believers that I really have a hard time with, but it's God's word. It says, you sympathized with those in prison and joyfully accepted the confiscation of your property because you knew that you yourselves had better and lasting possessions.
Yeah.
Now, folks, when I hear the griping about some of the really crooked things that our government is doing, I have to say, God, I want to be joyful no matter what happens. And if a bunch of crooks use force to rob and plunder, I want to be one of those who joyfully accepts the confiscation of property, knowing that I have better and lasting possessions. In Hebrews chapter 11, beginning in verse 8, it says, by faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he didn't know where he was going. By faith, he made his home in the promised land like a stranger in a foreign country. He lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city with foundations, whose architect and builder is God. Verse 13 says that These people were still living by faith when they died. They didn't receive the things promised. They only saw them and welcomed them from a distance. And they admitted that they were aliens and strangers on earth. People who say such things show that they are looking for a country of their own. Hmm. That is what we need to have our eyes set on. And then in verses 15 and 16, if they'd been thinking of the country they'd left, they would have had opportunity to return. Instead, they were longing for a better country, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. And Amen. In chapter 13, we're reminded that here we have no enduring city. We're looking for the city that is to come. That doesn't mean that we don't get involved politically. It doesn't mean that we don't seek to be good neighbors. It doesn't mean that we shouldn't be model citizens. It does mean that we live here as citizens of another country, and that we seek to love folks not just by paying taxes and being honest in our dealings, but we seek to love folks by telling them the truth and pointing them to King Jesus.
That's
because
right.
Because he's the only one. As you said, he's the only one who can save us.
It's funny because we spend a lot of time being upset at the corruption and the wickedness and the depravity and the dishonesty around us. And, you know, I can't help but having stood now at the foot of the cross and seen what Jesus was doing for me, mm-hmm. I can't help but say, you know what? It's terrible that those people are doing that. But you know what's worse? I'm still doing what I'm doing. Mm. I still have uncleanness in me, not in the larger eternal sense, because I have the righteousness of Christ. I've been washed by the blood. I am forgiven. But the fact that I still have so much that doesn't belong in me, and how can I just stand there and constantly say, you know, the problem with this country is those people? No, I think the problem with this country is me.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, for your listeners who like to point to those people, you can say, from now on, you can say, the problem with this country is Scott Ott. That's the problem with this country. And I used to have people, when I first started running for office, there were half of my friends who were, you know, all my believing friends, mm-hmm. half of my Christian friends would say, oh, my goodness, why are you getting involved in the political process? That's just a sewer. It's just a filthy, it's the realm of Satan. And then the other half of my Christian friends were like, oh, this is great. I can't wait till you come down from the mountain with the tablets of stone to begin the theocratic rule of Jesus. You know, and so you had these two extremes. And I would say to them, I said, look, you know, it is a sewer. Mm-hmm. And you have to swim in this cesspool in order to operate in the world of politics on a frequent basis. But it's not all one or all the other. I mean, my job in the political realm, whether as a commentator or as a candidate, is to essentially do what I'm called to do and have a foot in both worlds and just basically say, look, this all belongs to Jesus, and my role is to be as good a witness to Christ as I can in the midst of it all.
Amen.
I'm not going to turn this into a theocracy. And yes, it's a filthy realm, but I'll tell you what, I've met some of the best people I've ever met by being engaged and involved in the political process.
Praise God. Well, Scott Ott, we appreciate your taking time to talk with us today. I want to encourage our listeners that God is not just working here in this country. He is working all around the globe. Amen. A friend of mine who's just come back from China says there are at least 100 million believers in China now. He also said that not only have the folks there learned that socialism doesn't work, and so they now have kind of a quasi-capitalism under the radar that they're very uneasy with, but that communism served to virtually wipe out most of the Eastern religions in China. And what has been left in that vacuum is an amazing openness to the gospel. And wow. Millions and millions of people are coming to faith in Jesus Christ. God is working in Muslim countries. God is working all around the world and drawing to himself people from every tribe and tongue. And one day, every knee is going to bow and every tongue is going to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. I want to be sure that you are among that group who believes now, while you have the time to receive his grace. Trust in him, depend on him, and receive his forgiveness, his cleansing, and his blessing. Scott, thanks again for being with us, And folks, I hope that we'll hear from you soon.
Abiding in Christ is paid for by the generous donations of listeners like you. We are grateful for gifts of any amount. You can make a donation online at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org. We hope you are blessed by Abiding in Christ with Pastor Jim Wood. We would like to get to know you better and hope you will take a short survey at pastorwood.org. It will only take a minute or two. Every week, we will draw a few names from those listeners who take this survey. They will be offered a free book of their choosing that is listed at pastorwood.org. We truly hope all our listeners will take this survey. Please visit our website at pastorwood.org and take our survey today.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE, or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.